Hey, before we get started with this week's episode, I just want to give you a quick announcement. This is Deidre, and I am here to tell you that we have something brand new and exciting. And in case you haven't heard, I'm going to let Megan share with you how you can join our Patreon community and why you should.
Yeah, we just started our Dauntless Grace community, and it's through Patreon. And by joining us, you are working with us to support our mission. You can access exclusive content like behind the scenes videos that, are just mine and Deidre's faces with some special guests, plus bonus content from a lot of our really, really special guests. You can join a vibrant community and enjoy special perks like retreat discount pricing. So head on over to dauntlessgrace.org/community to find out more.
And there's more than just that. So if you didn't hear, you should go check out that link that she is telling you about because we also have monthly coffee and chat calls where we talk Enneagram. And for the next level up, quarterly co group calls with therapists. So I'm telling you, this is a really cool community to be part of, and you don't want to miss this opportunity.
Dauntlessgrace.org/community. Welcome to the Dauntless Grace Exchange. I'm Megan, and we don't have Deidre with us today, which is a first on this podcast. We've done an episode where I think it was just Deidre and a guest, but none where it was just me and a guest. So we're gonna like hold our breath and cross our fingers and see what happens. So luckily, our guest is the same from last week. Melissa Melton Otunba is back with us for a part two because we were so intrigued by what she said about concept therapy that we asked her to come back and teach us a little bit about it right here on the air. So Melissa, thanks for joining me again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm excited to have a conversation again. Last time was so much fun. So thank you for having me back.
Yeah, it really was. I just, I know we talked about this on the last episode, but we first got to know you at one of our retreats, and just being in your presence is just so calming. And you have a regulating presence. So even through Zoom, it translates. And I'm just excited to talk with you again today.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I love hearing that, because sometimes you don't know how other people obviously experience you. So I appreciate you even saying that. And I know last time we talked, the retreat dealt a lot with the Enneagram and internal family systems, which, like I said, it was really impactful for me. And then our last conversation around the Enneagram, which is kind of been my baby for about 4 years now. I just, love talking about that and how helpful it's been in my life, and using it with a lot of the clients that I work with. Has been really just a game changer for me and a lot of the clients that I serve. But also, I know we just started to talk about concept therapy because that's kind of like my other baby. So, yeah.
Well, okay, let's pretend that I'm a third grader and I've never heard of this before, because honestly, I have never heard of this before. So teach it to me like I'm a brand new learner and give me all the
details. Okay. Well, I'm like a kindergartner then, if we can say this really honestly. So let me kind of tell you a little bit of backstory about this. So concept therapy is actually just kind of a philosophy for life that really helps people to be able to kind of live healthier, happier, more fulfilling lives, right? Like, it's almost like, I think sometimes we think, man, I wish there was like a rule book for life to help us like get through challenging circumstances and situations that we all find ourselves in. And this kind of, for me, has been. So about a year, actually exactly a year ago, last March, I actually got the invite from a mentor that I've been working with for a while. She's actually my health mentor. Her and her husband actually invited me to a class that they were going to be participating in called Concept Therapy. And I really knew nothing about it. I just actually was going because I wanted to support them. I'll be real honest. I'm like, I don't know what this is, but let me just jump in. They've been super helpful for me. And if it's something they're interested in, let me just kind of support them. So I attended this class that they were hosting, or that they invited me to over a weekend. And it was pretty intense. So it's like a Friday through Sunday. It's literally 21 hours of curriculum over a weekend. Yeah. Which in the past I would have never done, because I love studying. I love learning new things in my profession that will help me and help the people that I work with. But normally it's like a training over, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 hours max. right? Yeah. So when she said 21 hours, like, it's like, good gosh, that sounds overwhelming.
Like, I can't even fathom that. Like, I mean, we do like 3-day retreats, and I'm trying to think, we probably don't do more than 8 to 10 hours. How do you fit 21 hours?
Yes, in 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's normally, it's like on a Friday, you know, Friday from, I don't know, like 9 to 6 usually, and then Saturday, and then half the day on Sunday. And you think, like, my brain, I'm an Enneagram 2, right? 2-in-1. And so I didn't think I would be able to focus and concentrate for that long, truthfully. But once I got into it and started the curriculum, like, I knew, like, within the first couple of hours that I was hooked. Like, it was so fascinating. And the person I could still see in my mind, the man that was teaching it that day, his name was Char Maddox. And he's a phenomenal teacher that has been actually teaching this curriculum for, I'm sure I'm going to get this wrong, but maybe 50 years.
Wow.
And I just remember thinking to myself, as I'm listening to him speak, I felt like a little girl. I don't know if you grew up with Mr. Rogers. But yeah, I just kind of old school now, back in the 70s and 80s. But I remember listening to Mr. Rogers as a kid, and just like being fascinated by kind of how he taught principles. This is actually how this teacher teaches. He would just teach these very complex principles, but in a way that, yes, like a kindergartner could get, and really made life very understandable. And I've never become emotional at a training before, but by about hour 5, if I were to guess, like, I remember just having this emotional experience and connecting with the material and thinking, oh my gosh, where has this been all of my life? Like, this makes so much sense to me.
All right. I'm sufficiently hooked. So now you have to tell me what it is.
Okay. So like I said, it's a philosophy for how to live life. The best way I can describe it, for those of you, those of us, I know not everybody grew up in church, let's say, but for those of us that did grow up in some kind of, say, religious background, for me, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and then since then have gone to many other types of different denominations throughout my adult life. And I've learned a lot about the Bible and what God says about this and that, and it all, you know, has been interesting, but not necessarily practical. And I remember asking, like, as a little girl, okay, so what do I do with this?
Right.
Okay, these are fun stories, right? God loves me. And, like, what do I do with this?
So you learned early on that not every story in the Bible is directly written for a 21st century American.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm just like, okay, yeah, this is so cute. What does this mean? How do I use this? What? Right. And even as an adult, like, I feel like I've learned a little bit more about what scripture means, but still not necessarily how to use in the practical way with the things that I actually struggle with, need to make decisions about, you know, parenting, marriage, divorce, relationships, health, money, business, like just all the real life things that all of us, you know, obviously live in. And so to me, this is what concept therapy is. It's really like a philosophy for life that brings together spirituality and science in a way that gives us practical tools to answer some of the questions and help us to make really wise decisions about things that many of us struggle with on a day-to-day basis, using really natural principles. I want to say God's principles. Some people say hermetic principles that have been around for generations, but that most of us are actually not taught and have no awareness of at all.
Give me an example of what you mean.
Okay. So let me start with the most basic, actually, which is the laws of the body, right? So there's 4 laws of the body, and I'm going to look away here because I want to make sure I get it right. In the laws of the body, there's like how to have correct meals. They're like the physical, how to have correct meals, the law of sanitation, the law of rest and recuperation, the law of hydration. So there are certain laws that specifically relate to our physical bodies that many of us just do not know. Therefore, many of us struggle with a lot of physical disorders. I know I grew up with a mom that had a lot of physical illnesses. She had diabetes, she had heart issues, she struggled with anxiety and depression. So she had a lot of things that she struggled with. While learning this, it helps me to see why there is a direct link between what I eat and how my body functions. So when I'm eating correct meals, which it's slightly different for all of us, because obviously our bodies are all slightly different, right? Depending on our background, our genealogy, where we live. But when I'm eating kind of basic healthy meals, which means a certain amount of protein, a certain amount of vitamins and minerals, and a certain amount of what we call hydration and there's things I'm forgetting, but certain things that when I'm eating those, which this curriculum teaches, now my body has the opportunity to now process exactly the way it's supposed to. And a lot of the physical disorders that I may have now can resolve themselves, because our bodies are actually designed to heal just like a broken bone when we have what we need for them to heal. But most of us have never learned that. So we're eating and drinking a lot of things that actually cause a lot of the illnesses that we have just because we don't know.
Yeah.
But if we know, then obviously we can make those changes.
We can. You're talking to someone who just had a lunch of beef jerky and wheat thins in between meetings. So,
okay. Sounds like this is for you, girl. Okay. All right. Yes. So one of the things that I knew, like I grew up in the 80s. And so like I grew up on pasta and sugar, right? Like, I mean, my mom was a single mom and we had tuna helper, hamburger helper. It was like a common staple dinner in my house. Never thought twice about it when I had kids, right? Like I would eat that, we would have a lot of pastas, and recognizing that the amounts of things that I was eating that I thought were food was actually not food at all. And that's why I was having some of the symptoms that I was having, and see that like line in my family, right? Like kind of those, my mom had certain things, my grandmother, and really it was due to some of the, obviously the foods that we were taught to eat that then were causing the same issues over and over again. Until I started to like remove certain things. Like for me, my mentor, my health coach, Kim, helped me to realize what I was doing that wasn't right. And so, you know, a couple years ago, I actually was able to overhaul and lose 35 pounds and lower my cholesterol by 90 points, which I thought would be impossible, and maintain it now for 2.5 years, which I've never done in my life before, using some of these principles that I'm talking about, like minimizing carbohydrates, not eliminating them 100%, of course, but really being thoughtful about how I utilize those and getting carbohydrates with the complex carbohydrates through a lot of the things I'm eating, like fruits and vegetables in that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree that all of this is so important.
Yeah.
But also, I know we all have a lot of things about our bodies and food and things. That's a big thing. So I don't want to like dissuade this topic of conversation, but I also am curious, like, okay, so this is one aspect, right? You're saying the four laws of the body. Can you give me another example that's not directly related to that necessarily?
To the body. Another one is the laws of, so the next kind of step up is, so once we get the laws of the body, which also there's sleep also, which many of us violate. Right? Like many of us are very anxious. I see clients every day that are anxious all the time. And then they'll say, yeah, I had slept for 4 hours last night. Okay. That's a natural. I'm a sleeper.
I sleep all the time, please.
But I mean, that's another violation. When I don't sleep well, right, I'm going to feel anxious. It's just like, ooh, 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah. So when I'm violating it, the reality is there's going to be, you know, consequences versus when I'm getting good sleep, you know, I'm going to be more rested and my body's going to function better. So that's another law of the body. But then there's also what we call the laws of the mind as well. Mm. And these are actually more powerful and probably the ones that I work with more so, both in my own life personally, but also with a lot of the clients that I work with that come in for help. Is they're violating a lot of the laws of the mind that we don't recognize. So the first one that many of us struggle with is fear. Right? It's like a very fundamental. And like you as an Enneagram 4 and me as a 2, we might both have fear, but in different areas of our life, right?
Right.
Because our personalities and our experience are a little bit different. But still, the fear underneath that is what then creates a lot of the different emotional experiences that we have, of course, and then our behavioral outcome of that experience. So when I'm focused on fear, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid this thing is going to happen in my life and I'm thinking about it all the time. What's happening is I am creating the very experience I don't want.
Yes. I don't remember which book it was. It might've been an Andy Kolber book, but like the anticipation and the dread, like that fear, like you're actually creating that trauma response in your body in anticipation of what could happen
Yes.
before it ever even happens. So you're already living, your body already thinks it's in that danger mode or that fear mode
Yes.
because you're creating that. I was like, that was mind blowing to me to realize that, oh, every time I'm fearfully dreading something, I'm putting my body through a trauma cycle, even unintentionally, thinking
Yes.
that planning for the worst case or whatever.
Right. Yes, exactly. I mean, that's a perfect example of this. And what concept therapy teaches is that our brain, our unconscious brain, like our subconscious brain, is what we call the doer. And what happens is it doesn't know the difference between what we would consider reality or imagination. Right. So
or
whether
past
we
and present, right?
Yeah, no difference, no difference whatsoever. It just does. So if we're thinking about something bad that we don't want to happen, even though it's never happened yet, our brain will recreate that experience in our bodies. That's why we have anxiety. That's why we experience depression or whatever other, you know, maybe constipation, whatever other physical manifestations happen, because we've just programmed that into our subconscious, which then has to work it out in our body in some way or in our environment.
That's my
Yes.
brain exploding all over my screen.
There we go. Yes. Well, mine did too the first time I heard this, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought fear was keeping me safe. Like that's how I rationalize fear growing up.
I mean, yes, fear is a signal to us, right? So how would you reconcile like in IFS work, we would say we want to thank the fear signal for saying, hey, you've got our attention. Now let's
listen
to find out what you want versus letting it take over your brain and body.
Yes. Similar principle, right? Similar is what you just described. So concept therapy would say, fear is just a, oh gosh, what's the words? It's a response to help us to know when we are not in alignment with ourselves in some way, right? Like we're thinking something incorrectly, basically. That's all.
Yeah.
Right. But it's helping us to pull us back. So now once we identify, okay, what's the thing that I'm fearing? Okay. So it's, I'm thinking that, but that's not actually reality. Now let me refocus on what they would call faith, or what do I want to happen? It hasn't happened yet, which is basically what faith is, right? It doesn't always have to be necessarily from a religious perspective, but really faith is just, what do I want to happen that maybe has not happened yet? And let me focus on that, right? So it's focusing on what you want to happen so that the now your body can now align with that. Oh, now I feel peace. Now I feel more joy. Now I feel more relaxed. And now I can start to see that show up in my experience, right? Because now I'm acting out of a place of faith, peace, and joy, as opposed to in the other direction, which is I'm fearing the worst case scenario. My body's feeling anxious. And now my body has to produce that in my environment or body. So it's just using that same tool, but in the opposite direction as what most of us use it right now.
I think that's really good because like part of me was saying, oh, so like manifesting what we want is kind of like what I hear you saying. But then I was like, no, I'm immediately reminded that the Apostle Paul in Philippians tells us, think about what is good, what is true, what is noble, what is lovely. Like we are wired to redirect our thoughts onto those things. And IFS say, then we're bringing out those eight C's of true selfhood, right? That is that compassion, curiosity, connectedness, and the other five that I can't ever remember. But operating in that space, that calm, that clarity, you know, then we are making decisions being led by ourself, who we were wired to be and created to be, and not these protectors like fear or whatever else is trying to protect us in whatever scenario we think we're stuck in.
Yes. Or thinks it's trying to protect us.
Well, yes, exactly. Like
Or
they protected us at one point and no longer are, but they think we should keep showing up to do it.
Absolutely. Right. So true. And I love you said that. Yeah. The fruits of the spirit. Right. Like, and that's why it's there, because when we focus on those things, then we start to feel, right, the manifestations of them, right? Like I'm focused on those more positive things or aspects or attributes, let's say. Now I feel better. When I feel better, now I can actually create that experience, right? Because when we feel better, we make better decisions. I mean, that's just basic logic, right? Like when I'm feeling peaceful and joy, I'm going to eat something better for lunch than when I'm feeling fearful and sad. Then I'm going to like choose something, like I'm going to run to McDonald's and grab a burger, right? I mean, it's just like basic, but oftentimes until we see it, we don't see it, as opposed to, you know, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And it always does that. It's just our thoughts,
right?
those negative thoughts that oftentimes kill how we feel and our possibilities, because now we're choosing in that other direction, which then can cause, health outcomes that we don't want, or difficult emotional experiences like anxiety or depression, or, financial issues or whatever other things might come from that.
And I'm going to say Andy Kolber's name again. We just recently had her on the podcast, but she talks a lot about the window of tolerance and gives really practical examples of when we're in a trauma response of some kind, like a memory, an experience, a fear, whatever that is, that's pulling us into a trauma response. There's some really practical grounding and compassionate resourcing that we can do for ourselves to pull one foot back into our window of tolerance.
Yes.
To me, that's kind of what you're saying here. I like that you're presenting this as kind of a philosophy, because it sounds like all of the stuff that we're doing, naming our Enneagram, longings and fears, and seeing our eyes as protectors and wounded parts, and the trauma response, and Brené Brown's naming emotions and figuring out where it resides in us and where we're headed. Yeah. This concept therapy is providing kind of like the philosophy over how to incorporate all of these tools. Mm-hmm. I like that you're presenting this as kind of an overarching umbrella philosophy for all of this, really.
Absolutely. And it really reaches every area of life that you can think of that any of us would struggle with. One of the, what we call natural principles or natural laws, just like gravity, right? Like none of us question gravity. We just like, know it's just a thing. We can believe in it or not. It's still true, right? Right. It's just a natural law. Well, and that's what, concept therapy teaches, is just these natural laws that whether we believe in it or not is irrelevant. They're still truth. But once we understand how they work, now we can live within that framework and use them to our benefit as instead of to our detriment. So like the law of rhythm, I use a lot when it comes to working with clients and even lives. Like everything has a rhythm in life, like seasons, right? Like we know that there's fall, winter, spring, summer. Whether we believe in it or not, it just happens. It's kind of how God set up the world to work in this natural rhythm, but we're the same. So sometimes we go through seasons that feel like just, oh gosh, everything's going so wonderful in my life. And, I feel like I'm doing the thing I need to be doing. But we know at some point that's going to probably stop and something's going to come to disrupt that, right? Like some kind of challenge, some kind of crisis, some kind of whatever, however you want to frame that. But understanding that, that also won't last forever, because eventually you'll go to another season, right? And as well as you know that while you're in it, you can start to like, what can I learn? What's this here to teach me or to show me, as opposed to thinking it's going to last forever or wondering why it's there. We don't wonder why is summer here. It's here for a purpose. Just like the seasons of our life are here for a purpose.
That's so good. I'm an Enneagram 4. So I kind of always live my life in a state of existential dread. It's heightened when things are good sometimes.
Okay.
But then when things are bad, then I just forget that it's ever been good or ever will be good again. I tend to get stuck in that feeling. I'm guessing a lot of people do, but I think for fours, we can just really grind into those feelings and forget that any other feelings ever existed. So I think a law of rhythm is definitely something I should keep like on a sticky note somewhere on my desk.
Yeah. Just helps you know. Yeah. This too shall pass, right? It's an easy way to kind of say that, right? Like as a two, it's kind of the opposite. Like I tend to think, oh, it's always going to be good. It's always going to be wonderful. It's great. Life is. And then when that thing happens, it's like, oh, whoa, shoot. Okay, I have to remember that, no, things aren't always great necessarily. Sometimes I do go through those challenges or those storms, and understanding and putting as much respect into those seasons as I do the seasons that, let's say, I prefer or like as an Enneagram 2. So understanding that helps me to be able to really have respect for all the different rhythms that my life goes through, because they're all here for a purpose and they're all here to teach me something about what I'm doing, or what's happening, or really where I'm going, maybe.
Okay, I have three more questions.
Sure, okay.
Number one, is there one more law that you want to tell me about right now that you think is vital for me to know? Because I know I don't have time.
So the law of resonance also, which a lot of times people hear, is the law of vibration. But that's actually a law as well. And I want to show you in a couple ways. And it actually shows up in scripture many times that we don't recognize, because some people are like, oh, that's not scriptural. It actually is. And really, it's like where Jesus talked about, you know, that we are to take the log out of our eye before we're pointing out the speck in our brother's eye. What we see in somebody else is really just what we're not seeing in ourselves. I use this every single day, right? Like sometimes I get really triggered by something that's happening in my life. I think someone's trying to control me. It's a common one. That person's trying to control me. I don't like that. Well, really all I'm seeing is they're showing me that in some area of my life, I'm trying to control things that I'm not noticing because I'm not looking at myself. I'm looking outwards. So that means I need to look back inwards. Where in my life where I'm trying to control something or somebody so that I can stop controlling? Because once I stop doing that, then I will stop seeing it in that other person that I'm wanting to point out and control.
Ouch, Melissa.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Stepping on toes here.
I like this one.
Okay, yes. So that's one of my favorite. It's one that I actually use all the time. But when I change that and I start to see the best, right? Like I start to number one, stop controlling or allowing. Right now I'm in this like more of an allowing, let's say energy. Now I feel better. I'm reducing my own stress, anxiety, whatever you want to name it. And now I can do that for you. Right? Like now I can allow you to be exactly who you are. And I don't need you to be different so that I feel better because I'm allowing in myself. Now I can like really resonate that to you also. And I can allow you to be exactly who you're created to be instead of expecting you to show up differently for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's some things to ponder.
yeah.
All right. Question two, where would you direct people who want to learn more about these laws? What kind of resources are out there? What's valid?
Yeah. Well, concepttherapy.org has a lot of information on their website, you know, basic information that you can look up. You can also look up hermetic principles, because a lot of this comes from really the hermetic principles that are available and out there. And then classes, we offer a lot of classes that are out there that you can also take.
Okay, cool. I'll connect with you and get some links to put up there for our listeners.
Absolutely, no problem.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then last question, and this is just for you because this is a sneak peek for our listeners to hear what some of the bonus content we offer on Patreon is, but we like to ask people in those bonus interviews, what has been left unsaid? You've talked with us now for almost an hour in two different episodes. And I'm just wondering,
okay, sure.
What's been left unsaid?
I think as it relates to kind of both of these things, right? Both of these things that I'm teaching about, both the Enneagram from the last and obviously using the principles of concept therapy. I think the reality of that we're all just human, right? And we all need support to live life. I went to a retreat this weekend, and really kind of one of the principles of the retreat is we're all on an individual journey that we can't do alone.
Wait, was this a Suzanne Stabil retreat?
Yes. Well, it focused a lot around her teachings, right?
Oh, I was gonna say, that's her tagline for her ministry. Yeah. I've heard that.
Absolutely. Yes. Life is an individual journey that we cannot live alone. Mm-hmm. And so I think that probably is the biggest learning for me, like even as a number one, as a counselor, as an Enneagram 2 who struggles with the sin of pride, which so for most of my life, I thought I can live life by myself. What are you talking about? I know all the things. That's why I'm where I am, which I've recognized the older I get, the more untrue that is. Right. So the reason why I don't know all the things, and that's why I use things like the Enneagram, like concept therapy, like reading these phenomenal books to help me to know what I don't know. Right. And learn how to be a more effective person, how to be who God created me to be, and then to be able to reflect that to other people around me. And I say that's really my only job as a counselor, not to fix anything that you come in with, but to reflect to you who you really are through me being who I really am.
Wow. Period. That's powerful.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that is a beautiful note to end on. And I feel like there was so much information that I just learned, but I know that was probably just a tiny drop since you said this was
tiny.
A 1 hour retreat.
Yes. Do you have another 21 hours that we can talk? Because let's just do it.
Can you sign me up for that, please? Because I would like to learn all of this in more depth.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we have several classes that are coming up. I will actually be teaching some classes because I'm actually in a teacher's training this year. And so I will actually be teaching classes in June and in September in both San Antonio and in Mansfield, Texas, that will help. So yeah, we'd love to have people there just because it's really, I mean, once you get it, like I was hooked. I feel like I tell my mentors, okay, I've drank the Kool-Aid now. I understand and I see how it's impacting my life significantly in just a year, and all of my clients that I'm using it with, they've said to me, Melissa, where has this information been all my life? I'm like, yeah, I know. That's why I'm teaching it now. So
I think that's amazing. And, you know, at some point we're going to have to do a part three, because now that you've presented like the philosophy of it, I want you to come back and tell us, okay, so what do we do? How do we apply it then? Yes. It's not time for that right now, but I would love to have that conversation at some point too, because it sounds like it does work with IFS and maybe some of the practices of IFS and this philosophy, maybe they could pair really well together.
Probably a lot of it is the same. It's just using different terminology, if I were to guess. Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense. I mean, different languages and different tools work with different people and how they think and operate. So I'm glad there is a vast availability of that. And the fact that it's replicated with just a different terminology and so many different tools means it works, right? It's people who have said, well, this is effective. And so it's just confirmation that it's good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would love to come back again. I love talking to you. So yeah, this is always
we'll have to make it happen sometime, but thank you so much just for both the hours you gave us here, the time we got to spend with you at the retreat. And I know this won't be the last we hear from you. So I appreciate your time so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And that wraps up another episode of the Dauntless Grace Exchange. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app and leave a review so other people can find us.
You can follow us on social media to stay connected. We're on Instagram at Dauntless Grace Ministries, and our Facebook page is Dauntless Grace.
For more about the Enneagram, visit our website at dauntlessgrace.org for coaching and training opportunities. And you can follow me at Enneagram Megan on Instagram.
And be sure to check out our website for more information about today's podcast. Plus, you can click the resources tab to find books by all the authors we've spoken to or about. And you can find it at dauntlessgrace.org.